It is now time for our scripture reading. This morning's passage comes from Isaiah 49, verses 15 to 16. You can follow along in your bulletins or on the screens beside me. Let's read together. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Now, this is really my first sermon, so I hope you all had a good breakfast, because as my husband and kids know very well, I am a woman with many words. So, around a couple of months ago, during my quiet time one evening, I was praying for some brothers and sisters in our congregation who had just lost their moms that week. And during my prayer time, it seemed out of the blue when I heard God tell me that I would be speaking for this Mother's Day and that I should start to pray about this. My first reaction was, oh God, I'm too scared to do that. I'm not a pastor. I didn't go to Bible school. I just don't feel adequate to do something like that. And speaking on Mother's Day, well, to be honest, I'm not a particularly great model as a mother or a daughter or a daughter-in-law. So what would I be saying? And besides, you know, I'm still in the midst of this very exciting but challenging journey of raising teenagers. So maybe it's better to wait until they're all grown up and launched into the world, fully walking in God's direction. Maybe then I would be in a better position to speak words of encouragement. But God reminded me that this is not about me or any words of wisdom I may have. I am just his vessel. He told me not to be scared because he will pour his living water to his people. I must admit, I kind of tried to avoid thinking about it after that. But about 2 weeks later, when my family and I were still on vacation, I received an email from Pastor Abe asking me to speak for this Mother's Day worship services. So obviously, I couldn't say no because this is now a confirmation of what God already told me. But to be honest, my heart was still really nervous. And later that day, I really got cold feet because, you see, as I was confronting my children about one of their bad habits, they, in their very typical no-nonsense teenager manner, told me that they picked up this bad habit from their parents. So that night, I really struggled with God. You see, God, I'm really not such a good mom. How can I feel okay to stand at the pulpit on Mother's Day? I'm just so flawed as a mom. Maybe someone else will be a better vessel for you, Lord. But our Heavenly Father very lovingly reassured me that he didn't choose me to speak because I'm some super mom. He chose me because it is in my weakness that he will show his strength. This is my mom. And you know, when I look at these pictures, I can't help but realize it seems like in the blink of my eye, my mom is now 84. And similarly, when I look at my two precious jewels and how quickly they are growing up in front of my eyes, I want to slow down the time, but I just haven't learned how to do that. And in the blink of an eye, they turn from babies into adolescents. And this is a picture of my mom-in-law holding my husband. I think for most of us here, we really can relate to how quickly time passes by. Whether it's from the perspective of a parent watching your child grow from this helpless baby into an independent adult, or whether it's from the perspective of a child watching your parent age, morphing from the strong mom or dad who used to carry you in their arms to a frail mom or dad whose physical or mental abilities dwindle before your eyes. This is the circle of life. When we reflect on family, it's really God's idea. Nothing else in creation reflects God's character quite like the two key components of family, marriage and parenthood. The love between a husband and wife gives us a glimpse of God's passionate devotion to us as his bride. And likewise, the ups and downs of parenting can be a great reminder to us of God's tenderness, patience, and unconditional love towards us as his children. Since we're made in God's image, I thought for this Mother's Day, it would be interesting to take a look at God's maternal images and God's maternal relationship. We generally think of God in a masculine sense because God is our heavenly Father, God is our King. But the Bible actually shows us a number of maternal images of God. In Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. And when Jesus was lamenting over Jerusalem, he said in Matthew 23:37, "How often I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." And when God was talking about his anger towards Israel for turning against him, he said in Hosea 13:8, "Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open." So we see here that God has used images of a mother bird, a hen, and a mother bear. So now let's take a look at a few images using a human mother. Oh, no. Oops. Can I turn it back? Sorry, I'm really not techie. Anyways, let's continue, and I'm sure they will come to my rescue. So in Isaiah 42:14, God says, "For a long time I've kept silent. I've been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp, and I pant." And in Isaiah 66:13, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." And on our scripture reading today, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." So we see here a number of maternal images. What does God want us to learn? Well, we see his warmth and love and protection for us. We also see his anger when we keep on rejecting him. And we see his longing and anticipation for us to return to him. And when we do return to him, we see him giving birth to our renewal. And we see him comforting us when we're hurt and broken. And we also see God's promise to never forget us, always, always thinking of us. That is our God. So now let's take a look at God as a human son. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, submitted to an earthly mom and dad to model what it means to obey and honor parents, and also to benefit from their loving direction. It was actually within the nurturing care of his earthly family that Luke 2:52 tells us Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I want us to look at two specific interactions between Jesus and his earthly mother. The first is in John chapter 2. It tells of a wedding celebration in Cana. It's a joyous occasion, but one that could have easily resulted in huge embarrassment. Jesus' mother comes to him and says, "They have no more wine." To which Jesus replied, "It's not really the time yet to tell people who I am." And then we see immediately following this, Mary tells the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. So what do we see in this mother-son relationship? Well, we see in verse 3 that Mary, Jesus' mother, had no hesitation to ask him for help. And we also see in verse 5 that Mary knew that Jesus would honor her and act on her request because she immediately tells the servants to follow what he wants them to do. Now, in verse 4, we see in Jesus' response that his mother's request didn't really fall within his planning. But he didn't ignore her problem. Instead, he honored her request. He went over and above what was needed, performing the first recorded miracle, turning 120 gallons, or over 450 liters of dirty water into excellent wine. Now I want us to look at another interaction. This is a very touching one because at this point, Jesus is already hanging there, dying on the cross. In John 19, 26 to 27, Jesus saw his mother there. He also saw the disciple he loved standing nearby. Jesus said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. As we read this passage, I want us to really be able to imagine the agony of Mary at this point. Yes, for sure, she knew without a doubt that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. But we also have to remember that Jesus was the baby that she carried in her womb. This is the baby that she nursed in her arms, the one that she nurtured and cared for as a child. Imagine her agony watching him suffering, watching him being badly beaten, hanging there, dying on the cross. Picture her held up by her sister and two other women, just sobbing at the foot of the cross. Now, I want us also to imagine Jesus, the unbelievable pain and exhaustion that he was feeling at this point, after having been severely beaten and tortured, hanging there on the cross, gasping for each breath in pain. And yet, you know, God saw it fitting to record for us in his word that even at this most traumatic time of Jesus' life on earth, his heart ached to see his mother's sorrow. He still wanted to show her love and respect and responsibility, wanting to make sure that she would be cared for. And with the last of his strength, he lovingly asked his best friend John to look after her. So what do we see in Jesus' earthly relationship with his mother? We see his desire to honor and obey her, even in matters that were outside of his plan and convenience. We also see his desire to show love and respect and responsibility for her, even in the midst of his own pain and suffering. That is our God. And so as we reflect on who God is, his character as the perfect parent, his character as the perfect son, it gives us a clear role model to follow, whether it's as parents to our children or children to our parents. But the truth is, we all sin. And in Romans 3:23, it tells us we fall short of the glory of God. And as much as we may want to love our children, and as much as we may want to try our best to be that super mom or super dad, we will fail them as parents. And as much as we may want to love and care for our parents, our selfish human nature will sometimes get in the way, and we will fail to honor them the way that God intends for us to. You know, for me, there's no area in my life that more clearly reveals my flaws, my shortcomings, and even my sins than in my parenting and in my regular interaction with my family. When I'm at work, no matter how frustrated I may get, it would never cross my mind to raise my voice at anyone. And in all my years of teaching children of different ages, at our church, I've come across lots of different types of misbehavior, lots of difficult to control children. Yet not once would I lose control and start to scream at them. But I'm ashamed to admit to all of you that as a mom, I have lost verbal self-control and many times have yelled at my own children and have said things in my anger that have wounded their hearts. It is indeed humbling. And yet, it's at these moments that I experience God's grace firsthand. I remember saying to my husband that I think one of the best things about being a parent is that you get to have a front row seat watching this tiny little human being growing and developing in front of your eyes, seeing them so helpless and then learning to smile and coo and play and crawl and walk and talk and jump and read and swim, etc., etc. Now, our children, of course, they also have a front row seat. They get to see us for who we really are, good and bad. They see our bad habits. They see our selfishness, our impatience, our insecurities, our hypocrisies, our defensiveness, brokenness, and ugliness. Now, maybe when our kids are little, all these things just kind of roll past them. But as they get older and become more cognitively mature, they become able to observe and see the fullness of our sins and have to somehow interpret and try to make sense of our brokenness. This is challenging and yet painfully beneficial for spiritual growth, theirs as well as ours. It is in recognizing that this far from perfect version of me is the one that is deeply loved by God, that all my sins are forgiven, that this is the version of me that God wants to work with. That is when I truly know that His grace is more than sufficient to cover all my shortcomings and all my brokenness. And it is out of my sins and brokenness that this gift arises for my children, that this gift of family, where we can love one another despite our flaws, where we can forgive one another despite the hurts we cause. That is when my children can learn firsthand that God's grace for me and for them is really real, that He loves us as we are, and His grace never runs out. You know, in today's parenting, we often long for all kinds of parenting tips and best practices to help us know how to discipline, train, teach, and nurture our kids at different ages of their lives. Now, while these tips and parenting and practices may be wonderful, I've come to realize that they can all result to nothing if they are devoid of God's grace. The Bible tells us that parenting is truly one of life's greatest blessings. In Psalm 127:3, it tells us children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. But parenting, as many of you know, can also be full of challenges. It can sometimes seem frustrating, impossible, and fruitless. No matter how we may try with our own strength, our kids can sometimes still be a challenge. Because, you know, just like us, our children are broken sinners. But the wonderful news is that there's God's grace, and He empowers us to do what we cannot fulfill on our own. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." We may fail as parents to our children, but God will never fail to be a gracious, loving, and effective Heavenly Father to all of us. Where we are flawed, He fixes and restores and empowers, and He fills in for our gaps. Effective parenting can be impossible for us on our own, But with God, nothing is impossible. Now, what does God's grace mean for me as an adult child? Deuteronomy 5:16 tells us, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." The dictionary defines honor as to regard with great respect. Now, if you notice this biblical mandate to honor our parents, it doesn't come with any conditions. It doesn't say honor your parents until you reach a certain age, nor does it say honor them until they reach a certain age, nor does it say honor them only if they're godly people. It just says God wants us to honor our parents, and he'll bless us with long life. Now, I know for some of you, you may have been deeply wounded by one or both of your parents. And you may be wondering, how can I be expected to honor them? No, you cannot do that on your own. But with God's grace, he can free you from carrying the weight of all your past hurts and spare you from the consequences of living out your life out of this unforgiving heart. Forgiving your parents doesn't excuse their behavior of wounding you, but it allows you to move past your hurts and live in God's freedom. As I was preparing for this sharing, I really have prayed for you that you would seek the help of counselors or a pastor who would pray for you, who would walk with you on this difficult journey to receive God's grace to heal your wounds and to enable you to honor your parents with forgiveness, not because they deserve it, but because God wants you to live in his freedom. Now, even for those of us who may not be struggling with deep woundedness from our parents, honoring our parents is still not an easy task. As an adult child, honoring our parents may mean patiently listening to them when they repeat the same thing over and over for seemingly the 100th time. Or it may mean speaking to them with kindness and gentleness, even when they seem stubborn and illogical. Or it may mean forgiving them and showing them grace, even when what they say is really offensive to us. Or it may mean tirelessly caring for them as their health declines, even when that means a sacrifice of our own time and energy. Can it be hard to honor our parents? Absolutely. There will be times when we sin against our parents and respond in frustration, exhaustion, bitterness, resentment, and even guilt. But God's grace covers us. It is for those sins that Jesus came to die and resurrect for us so that we can bring them all to Jesus and receive his grace. And where we struggle, we know that we can humbly ask God to help us to honor him by obeying his command to honor our parents. Our world prides in self-sufficiency. You know, out there are millions of self-help books on every topic. Many of us, once we know we're expecting, we'll start to read what to expect and all the how-to books so that we can become better parents. But ironically, many of them actually offer contradictory advices. For example, pick up your baby immediately when she cries, because otherwise she will turn to become an insecure child. Don't pick up your baby immediately when she cries, because you will make her a very self-absorbed child. So in many ways, today's parents, we're exposed to far more parenting educational resources than in past generations. However, there really is no guarantee that following all these tips and advice will produce better parenting outcomes. The truth is, no matter how many self-help resources we may peruse or how we may think we have everything under our control, there will come times in our lives when we are faced with our own helplessness and become bogged down with worries or fears. We may worry that we'll never become parents. And when we're expecting, we may worry about our unborn child. And when our baby is born, we may worry about their health, their development. When we're raising our children, we may worry about their different health issues, their emotional well-being, their success at school, their misbehavior, their spiritual development. And often we hear these self-condemning voices inside our heads telling us that we're not good enough as parents, that parenting failures will damage our kids. And as our kids get older, we may worry about their future, their academic or career pursuits, or their relationships. And if our kids make wrong choices in life or choose not to follow Jesus, our heavy hearts will ache deeply and we become guilt-laden, questioning ourselves where we went wrong. And flipping around to the other side from the perspective of an adult child, we may worry that we will never meet our parents' expectations. Or we could have so much resentment build up inside towards our parents that we wonder how we can ever live without letting it consume our lives. We may worry that our parents would never accept our faith and that fearful that they will never become saved. And as our parents' age and circumstances change, we may worry about their declining health. And as their health declines, we may worry how best to take care of them and how it would impact our lives. I know that even with this long list, I wouldn't be able to capture all the fears and concerns we have. But the reassuring thing is that God knows our hearts. And not only does he see our worries and our fears, he also teaches us what to do with them. He tells us in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, God's word is always true. He's basically saying, don't worry, I got it. Hand over your worries and fears and disappointments to me. Pray about them. Give thanks for who I am, and I will give you this peace that is beyond your imagination. You notice the word anything? We don't need to worry about anything, whether it's to do with ourselves or our children or our parents, our family. We can trust God with all these things because he is worthy of our trust. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Sometimes we may think that we could do things on our own or figuring things out ourselves. But God reminds us that we need to trust him, not on our own abilities or anyone else's for that matter. We need to submit to him our own agendas and desires for ourselves, our children, our families. Acknowledge who God is, and he promises to make our path straight. Now, sometimes we may find ourselves stuck, not knowing what to do, whether we're dealing with situations in our own lives or in parenting our children at various stages or in figuring out care situations for our parents. But it's reassuring to know that God is ready and willing to give us wisdom in any situation. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But some of us may be thinking that what we're going through as parents or as adult children may be too much for us to deal with, that we're weary and exhausted beyond words. I want to encourage you with Jesus' words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus means every one of these words. Come to Jesus. He loves us. He doesn't want us to carry these heavy burdens. Instead, he'd be more than happy to carry them for us. So hand over them to him, and he promises to give us the rest we need. I know some of us here are feeling that our own situation is hopeless, that we just don't see how it can ever be turned around. Maybe it's a health situation with ourselves, or our children, or our parents. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's a stubbornly unbelieving parent. Whatever it is, know that our God, he specializes in the impossible. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So hand over our concerns to him, pray about them, and know that God, he hears our prayers. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us." So don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Trust that God, he has good plans for us and our family. Because in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Finally, I want to end up with our scripture reading for today. You know, I love this verse, and I think on Mother's Day, it's really appropriate for us to see that God uses a mother's love for her baby to represent the greatest kind of human love. I remember when I became a mom, a whole new level of love just took over inside of me. And as I held my little girl or my little boy, I knew without a doubt that should the need arise, I would die for them without hesitation. And I know this is the case for many, many, many moms around the world. And that is why Mother's Day is so celebrated. But you know why I love this verse? It's also because God tells us that his love for us is even deeper and greater than a mother's love. As a parent, recognize from this verse that God is telling us even if we fail as parents, God has got them. Our mighty God, he has engraved our children into the palms of his hands. That is the biggest reassurance we can have as parents. And as adult children, know that regardless of whether you had parents who loved and cared for you as they should have, or whether you had parents who failed you and wounded you, know that our Heavenly Father's love for us is ever, ever so deep. That our God of the universe is the greatest parent we can ever have. He's always loving us and always thinking of us. No conditions attached. That is our God.
Good night. Looks like we made it through the day. The moon sighs, and I know that we're okay. Sleep tight. I love to watch you drift away. I would come with you, but on my knees I'll stay. Good night. Five little fingers hold in mine. Take flight into your dreams and lullabies. There's nothing more that I can do but just fall more in love with you and ask the angel armies to stand by when I leave. Gonna fail you, I already have. 10,000 times I will fall down flat. You'll have a seat in the front row of everything I tonight. There will be storms that we come through in time. We will slay dragons, me and you. I'll always want to hold you tight, keep you safe with all my might. So I will leave Jesus next to you when I leave the room. And you will run ahead as if you know the way. And I will pray more than one should have to pray. There will be words we can't take back. Silence is too. And I'll be on my knees. You'll see. You'll want me to fight, but I'll tell you that I'm ready. When there's nothing left to do, I will still be loving you. Then you'll